World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I feel like this morning. Feel like this. You guys know what that is? Juggling. I feel like I'm juggling today. God bless y'all. Thanks for joining us. Hey, I want everybody to join me right now. I'm going to sing Happy Birthday to Joe Silver. Silver, I hope you're listening out there, and I don't know how old you are, but happy birthday, Joe. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, melodic deep voiced Joe Silver. Happy birthday to you. Bless you, Joe. We miss you, man. Keep fighting. Get back up on your feet, buddy. God bless you, man. God bless you. Hey, listen, we had that. I don't want to talk about at-cost medals. We had a good Zoom meeting last night, except it wasn't a good Zoom meeting. Zoom went down on us right in the middle of it. But I was really encouraged by what we heard last night. And again, folks, we'll do another one to try to explain even a little bit more what's going on. We had one of the founders that joined us last night and really, really laid out some really good stuff for us. So I'm sorry that it crashed on us. I don't know why it crashed on us. And we'll do another one. And I would just encourage all folks, listen, I'm just telling you. Just get $149 and buy some silver. I suggest silver. I'm not a financial guy, right? But gold's very expensive. So you get an ounce of gold. It's about that big around coin, and that thing's going to be how much is gold? How much is gold today? $2,200 for one little thing of that, right? Silver dollars, you can get silver dollars, and a silver dollar is about $35. So even though it's bigger, silver's bigger, and it's heavier, I think silver is, that's what I think. Jack, real quickly, go ahead. Amen that, Jack?
Amen. And the silver is recognizable as currency. People recognize a silver dollar. They may not understand what its value is, but they recognize it. And
that's
it,
right.
Makes it tradable.
And folks, to understand this, right? Paul just put it in there. Right now, the gold-silver ratio is 83 to 1. In other words, gold and silver, normally 17 pieces of silver will buy 1 ounce of gold. That's what it normally is. That's what it's been all throughout history, 17 to 1. Right now, it's 83 to 1. 83 pieces of silver to buy 83 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. That's the ratio now. And it's normally 17 to 1. So that's why I encourage you. Silver's going simple. I don't want to stay on all that, okay? Thanks for all of you that are out there and have. Just God bless you all. God bless you all. Man, I look, is it okay with you guys if I touch some controversial stuff? That's why you tune in here, isn't it? And at the end of the day, will we all still be friends? Will we all still be friends if I bring up some stuff that I think we ought to think about, we ought to know about? I'm just telling you. And some of these things, I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling, to be honest with you. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Spencer, pull up that thing that I had you right at the beginning of the show. So last night, yesterday afternoon, this is the kind of stuff that makes me go, huh? Yesterday afternoon, in a surprise, the House blocks the renewal of the FISA warrantless spy. That's how we got in the mess, by the way. They're spying on you. That's what the Patriot Act gave us. They're spying on us without any, they're just spying on us. They decide they want an open investigation on Coach Dave. They can do that. They can look at bank records. They can look at who I've been Googling. They can look at all. That's called warrantless spying, right? That's a result of 911, Patriot Act, right? Patriot Act. What a word, Patriot Act. Well, time came up to renew it, to renew FISA warrantless spy programming. They're going to vote to continue it, even though that's how they trapped President Trump, by the way. And lo and behold, it got blocked last night. But I thought, what? Wait a minute. I said, all right, those Republicans, right? Except no, the Democrats blocked it. The Democrats blocked it. And they blocked it with 19 Republicans who voted with the Democrats. What, folks, what is going on when the Democrats are against wireless taps, warrantless wiretapping, and the Republicans are for it? 193 Republicans voted to continue illegal surveillance on you. 193 Republicans voted for it. But look at this. I'm looking at the chart, 209 Democrats and 19 Republicans joined the Democrats. And I thought, yeah, awesome. And I scratched my head. Wait a minute, Republican good, Democrat bad. What's going on here? How can these guys who joined the Democrats, how can they be heroes? And Jim Jordan must be leading the charge, right? Jim Jordan. So we go down there and see who voted with the Democrats to stop illegal wiretapping. I don't see Jim Jordan on there. I don't see Jim Jordan on there. So the Republicans want to continue wireless. What? What? We gotta be careful, don't we, friends? Huh? What a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. By the way, one of the bills going through was, are you ready for this? They wanted to continue warrantless wiretapping. They wanted to continue it. However, they voted in, part of the bill was members of Congress were exempted. Meaning they couldn't do a warrantless wiretap on a member of Congress to see if they were involved in any. That was the bill, and they were going to cover themselves and investigate the rest of us. And the Democrats, unbelievable. What's going on? What is going on? Now, I don't know. See, that's part of the confusion that's going on, folks, is we don't know who the good guys are. That's what I said to Michael Flynn the other day. Who are the good guys? How do we know who the good guys are? Who are they? Who owns them? That's going on. That's going on. I got some stuff I want to show you today. It's going to make some of you probably a little bit mad, but that's all right. It's all right. This stuff has to be talked about. Where do I want to start? I want to start with number three, if you could for me. Let me get everything lined up here. Number three. Pull that for me, Spencer. Are you looking at me? Is there any power or any truth outside of Jesus Christ? That's kind of a broad question, but I want you to think that through. Can truth be separated from Jesus Christ? In other words, does Jesus Christ ever support a lie?
No.
He can't, right? He can't. And can the devil ever support the truth?
Nope.
Well, the devil could only support the truth for a nefarious reason, for deception. The devil never really supports the truth. And Jesus Christ will never, ever support a lie. So I want to show you here a principle that has not changed. It's going to make some of you nervous. Sorry. We're about the truth here. All right. Then came together unto him the Pharisees, certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Time out a minute. Somebody smarter than me, raise your hand right now and tell me who the Pharisees were and who the scribes were. Who were the Pharisees? Martin, who were the Pharisees?
The Pharisees, Coach, were a group of learned men. They studied normally the five books of the law, which were Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There were two sections of these Pharisees, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the learned men, Coach, that knew only and believed only the five books of Moses. The Pharisees were the ones who learned and believed the five books of Moses, but also believed that the words of God would also be through the Psalms and the prophets. The Pharisees are the ones who believed in resurrection, because Elijah resurrected a man once. So okay, the Pharisees believed that.
Good enough, Martin. So we got the Republicans and the Democrats.
You're welcome.
These are political leaders, the Republicans and the Democrats, all right? Are you with me? Because remember, in this time, there's no separation of church and state. The church was the government. You with me? You all with me, right? So let me paraphrase this a second. Then came together unto him the politicians and certain of the teachers to Jerusalem. You got the picture? These guys they're in collusion together. CNN is in collusion with the Democrats. This is what we're looking at here, okay? You got to understand this, because this is a principle that does not change. There's only two teams. And when these politicians and the news media came to Jerusalem, and when they saw some of the disciples eat bread, which was defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. So these were the guys who were of the book, by the book, for the book. You better do it or you ain't nothing. But it wasn't all the book. Hang on. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands off often, couldn't eat, because they were following all the rules in the books. Anybody think I'm missing? I'm not trying to misinterpret anything. I'm trying to put it in 2024 language that you understand. And when they come from the market, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the Jews, that's what it says, except they wash, they can't eat. And many other things that they did, which they have received a hold as the washing of cups, and the pots, and brazen vessels. They made all kinds of rules and regulations that these guys had to follow. Not these guys, the people had to follow. So like it's government, huh? It's government redone today. And then the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, why don't your disciples follow all these rules? Why don't they do that? They don't even wash their hands when they eat." Trying to find fault with Jesus, right? You're teaching a different doctrine here, bud. They're saying to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus answered unto him and said, "Wow, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written." Hey, folks, church leaders, because this people honor me with their lips. They follow all the rules and regulations, and they're marking down when you did right, and they're marking down when you did wrong. And they honor you with your lips, but they ain't anyway near me, baby. They don't know anything about me. Anybody think I'm making this up? Anybody think I am? Because there's nothing new under the sun. And he says, "Howbeit, in vain." Vain meaning of no effect, for no reason, emptiness. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That means for no purpose. He said, "Howbeit then, for no purpose, they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." He said, "They're not following me. They're not following the Torah. They're not following that." Jesus told him back in 33 AD or whatever this was. He says, "They lay aside the commandments of God." What? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Those are the only two. They asked Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment?" He says, "Only two of them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, your neighbor as yourself." So they lay aside the commandments of God, he's telling these guys, and they hold the tradition of men. You guys are more concerned about their outward appearance as Christians than what's going on inside their heart. You make them follow rules of washing pots and cups and other such things. He says, you're missing the whole thing, boys, Jesus is saying to them. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God so that you can keep your rules. You make rules and you want everybody to be rule followers. You're missing the whole thing. Why? Because that which is spirit, huh? Then, oh my goodness. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. And whosoever curses them or father or mother, let him die the death. That's what Moses said. But you guys say, you change the rules even more. You say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest profit by me, he shall be free. And that ticks you guys off. It ticks you guys off because liberty has come, not rule following, but liberty. Keep going. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. He said, you have missed all. You got everybody following rules, and you've missed the entire spirit. The spirit of the law brings life. The letter of the law brings death. Anybody want to argue with that? Somebody say amen. Making the word of God of no effect through your denominational traditions. Vinny, boom that one, would you please, Vinny? Would you please boom that? Nothing new under the sun. Making the word of God no effect through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such like things that you do.
Huh? Boom.
Thanks, Vinny. Woke you up there. He says, there's nothing from without a man that enters into him that can defile him. Sorry, hey, Dale, I guess you can eat pork. I guess you can eat shellfish. I guess that.
Boom.
So it says, there's nothing from outside that can enter into and defile him, but the things which come out of him, that's what defiles him. Hey, says anybody can hear what I'm saying? Anybody picking this up? Huh? We talking about Willis? And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples pulled him aside. They said, dude, what are you doing? What do you know who you're talking? You know who you're talking to? What are you doing? And he said to his church-going buddies, you don't get it? Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enter into a man, it cannot defile him because it enters not into his heart? Buskman, boom! But into the belly, it comes out the other end, purging all meats.
Boom.
And he said, that which comes out of a man, that's what defiles the man. Huh? Oh, yeah. Not what goes in him, what comes out of him. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. This is the fruit of the unclean heart. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil lie, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man. Wow. And from thence he arose, he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. He did this on purpose, by the way. He walked into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter, we don't need to go. Boom, boom, boom. Here's my focus today, okay? This is what it's all over me. Teaching as commandments the doctrines of men. We call that what? Religion. Religion. Now, I'm not here in any way, shape, or form to say that you shouldn't follow this and you shouldn't follow that to honor. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But if you think that all following all them rules is going to get you in, you are so missing it. Right? Because if rule following gets you in, the Pharisees and the Sadducees would have made it. They made the rules and they kept the rules. What scripture was that? Mark 7. So I'm gonna play something here that absolutely, I'm just telling you, blows my mind. Let me find it here. I want to take my hat off to which one? I'm sorry. Pull up Tucker. This is what's gonna make y'all nervous. I want to tell you something. This guy better be careful. Tucker better be careful. Number one, he's going to get saved. If he's not careful, he's going to get saved. And number two, he's poking the bear. And he asks a very simple question, which I'm going to play here for about 3 minutes. He says, can somebody explain to me how the Christian American government can continue to supply Israel to kill Christians in Gaza? Can somebody answer that for me? That Christian America gives Christian dollars to Israel who kill Christians. Go ahead and play that.
Almost never noted theme of American foreign policy is that it is always the Christians who suffer. When there's a war abroad that the United States is funding, it is Christians who tend to die disproportionately. And this goes back a long way, 60 years really, to Vietnam, where Catholics in that country were massacred, but it's accelerated. So, for example, during the more than a decade the U.S. government spent occupying Iraq, the ancient Christian community of Iraq was completely devastated. 9 out of 10 of them are no longer there. They're gone. That was an effect of our foreign policy, but it was almost never noted in the United States and almost never, ever even mentioned by Christian clergy in this country, many of whom supported that war and that occupation. Why is that? Maybe because it wasn't. Virtually no one in any American church said anything when Christians were killed in Syria, very often by Islamic extremists paid for by the United States. But nobody said anything. And anyone who did was denounced as a kook or a bigot somehow. Standing up for Christians was not
anti-Semitic.
In the U.S. media, I saw that firsthand. And so, once again, it continued. In Ukraine, where the U.S. government has sent far more than $100 billion to the Ukrainian government. And what happened? What did that government do? Well, it banned an entire Christian denomination. The Zelensky government is busy throwing Orthodox priests and nuns in jail and having the army raid churches. But again, not a word. But what about Gaza? What about the entire region in the Middle East, where, of course, there's very intense fighting going on?
Let me stop real quick.
Many.
Hold it right there. I got to say this because you're not going to get it. The American government is not Christian, and the Israel government is not Christian, folks. Do you understand this? Come on. Do you understand this?
Amen.
They're not Christian.
Boom.
The American government isn't Christian. And the Israeli government isn't Christian. Go ahead.
Christian churches in the United States, particularly evangelical churches, support that. But
Hang on. Did you understand what he just said? Major evangelical Christian churches in America are supporting Israel to kill other Christians.
Actually, take a deep breath.
Go ahead.
Worried about the Christians who live there, the ancient Christian community in Gaza, the West Bank, and Israel proper. So because no one has said a word, there has been great suffering among the Christian population in that region. In October, a Greek Orthodox church in the Gaza Strip was hit by an airstrike. We're showing the video now. The church is in ruins. At least 17 people were killed that day. And again, that was hardly the first time that fighting in that region killed Christians. You'll remember the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem almost 20 years ago. where a clergyman was killed in the church with American weapons, and Christian clergy in our country said nothing. And you may be asking yourself, well, wait a second, if Christian leaders won't stand up for the lives of Christians, why have them in the first place? And that's probably a good question. So you would think that in Congress, where there are many self-professed Christians, somebody might be piping up on behalf of their brethren in the Holy Land. But no, just the opposite, in fact. For example, at a town hall event last month, Michigan Congressman Tim Walberg, a former evangelical pastor...
Pause this. Are you sitting down? This is a former evangelical pastor who's in Congress. Remember, our money is killing Christians. Okay, go ahead.
He would like to see the region treated like Hiroshima was treated. Watch this.
We shouldn't be spending a dime on humanitarian aid. I agree. It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Get over quick. The same should be in Ukraine. Defeat Putin quick. Instead of 80% of our funding for Ukraine being used for humanitarian purposes, it should be 80%, 100% to wipe out Russian forces. If that's what we want to do.
So to be clear, as a theological matter, Christianity is not the religion of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's the religion among all world religions that uniquely abhors mass killing. In fact, it is the religion that abhors mass killing. There's no excuse for that from a Christian perspective. And here we have a former pastor calling for it. But again, how are the Christians doing in that region, in Gaza, the West Bank, and in Israel proper? We almost never hear from them. And so we thought it would be interesting and maybe edifying to hear from one right now. The Reverend Munter Izhak.
Put in the chat because we're not going to listen to the rest of it. What do you think about that, folks? Huh? Are we as Christians supposed to support Israel to the point of killing our Christian brothers and sisters? It's a deep question, making some of you mad. I understand. I get it. Israel's the apple, God's eye. I get it. They don't even believe in Jesus. Government of Israel does not even believe in Jesus. By the way, neither does the government of the United States. Joe Allen, come on in.
When is our country leaders are going to step on the line and of the front and fight? Instead of sending our sons and daughters out there to fight.
They're afraid to cross the Israel lobby. They're afraid to cross the Israel. It's death. It's death to stand up and say, wait a minute. Mass slaughter of Christians is not okay. I don't care who's doing it. Can you imagine if we were doing this in Africa and slaying thousands and thousands of black people? Can you imagine the outrage? Come on in, Martin.
Thanks, Coach. Words straight from God's mouth to our ears. It's found in Joshua chapter 5, 13 to 15. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. The reason I bring that up, Coach, that should be the disciple of Jesus Christ stance. Exactly what that army leader, the man, the angel said, okay? That's what our stance should be for Israel and America. We are neither for these people. Why, Coach? They are not following Christ yet. Pray for missionaries like oneforisrael.org who are trying to convert the Jews over in the Gaza Strip, even right now, and other ministries, Messianic Jews, trying to bring these people. Okay.
So here's the question. Here's the question.
That's our stance.
Folks, this is uncomfortable, okay? This is uncomfortable. Should we support godless Israel or Christians in the Middle East? Who should Christians be supporting? Come on in, Dale.
Well, we just missed a little caveat there in the book of Joshua. Was this not God's chosen people? Was not Joshua leading God's chosen people? And what did the Lord say to him? I'm neither for you nor against you.
That's what it said.
This is God's chosen people, coach.
That's what it says. I'm neither for you nor against you. Hey, we understand war and war's hell. We understand that innocent people will get killed in war. Friends, our Christian churches, I'm sorry, if you never watch again, I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth. Our Christian churches are supporting Israel, who are killing Christians.
Amen.
Now, I don't know what you think. That's a dilemma to me, man. That's a dilemma. Nobody else has anything? Nobody else has anything to say? So they're all God's chosen people. They're all, well, of course, coach, we got to go kill these Christians because they're not God's chosen people. These atheistic Jews are God's chosen people. So, coach, we got to support these atheistic. See, some of you right now thinking anti-Semitism. Think. We have an evil American government supporting an evil Israeli government. Anybody want to argue that one? Government, not people. Government. It's not the same. It's not the same. Joe Biden does not represent me. He's my president, but he don't represent me. Most of Congress doesn't represent me. They're my elected official, but they don't represent me. In fact, they're the ones who are breaking the back of Christianity in America. You don't have to say amen. It's all true. Ohio Brett, come on in.
Coach, thank you so much for bringing this truth up in the locker room, because it's not anti-Semitism. It's anti-Satan. I am pro-Jesus. Anti-Satan. And shame on all those politicians that are anti-Jesus and they are pro-Satan. And I want to let you know, Coach, that all the people watching on PPN, they are so proud of everything that you bring there. I'm driving to Nashville right now to speak at that conference. I know you're going to be up in Wisconsin, but they all wanted you there. And I'll do the same thing everywhere I go. Encourage people to read the Bible and watch CoachDaveLive.com.
Thank you, Brett. They're having a big rally today down in Nashville for the Patriot Party news, and I was invited to go down there and speak, but I'd already committed to Rob Pugh going to Wisconsin today. So, Brett, thank you. Thank you for the representation. Randy, I want to get you in here just a second, okay? Anti-Semitism. Just like a parrot. Rolls right off of our lip. We don't even think. Anti-Semitism. How about pro-Christian? Okay, hang on. I'm sorry to bring this to you. I'm sorry to do this to you. Pull up, which one is it? Number six. Number six.
Anti-Jew hater, anti-Semitism.
You just parrot it. So here is a former, we could get into the Kabbalah and the Zohar. Folks, they're not following the first six books of the Bible. They're not following that. This is 3 minutes. I'm sorry to bring you so much truth in one setting.
Anti-Semitism.
Go ahead.
The entire thing is separation of people to Israelitic and non-Israelitic according to the book called Jewish Utopia. Now, they are building their own kingdom. It's the Jewish earthly kingdom with headquarters in Jerusalem, where their AI Messiah will be, and they're going to rule the world through the law. You know, it will be international, one law.
One world order,
Luciferian religion. So yes, in a Talmud, this is the Jewish earthly kingdom, and this is why the Zionist Christianity have embraced Kiliism. They have embraced, or Chiliism, I don't know how you would
Kilo,
say.
Kiliism. Kiliism.
Which
means 1,000.
Where
they get the 1,000-year millennial reign.
Exactly, which is a focus on earthly millennial kingdom. And this is how Jews and Christians are getting together, and Christians are so deceived, thinking that they are working for the good thing, for the Jews, like they're helping the Jews. The Jews are supposed to get this kingdom. Yet this is Zoharic doctrine, and it does not have good intention. As I said, that they want to rule the world, they want to get Gentile riches, and they want to rule the Gentiles. They don't consider Gentiles fully human beings. And in fact, as an end game, they have this strange doctrine, Adam Kadmon doctrine, which Adam Kadmon originally was, according to Zohar and Talmud. He was androgynous.
Folks, you better understand what we're talking about here, right? These are not Old Testament Jews, okay? Okay, anti-Semitism. She's going to tell us right now, this is so powerful, if we would understand that they believe Adam was androgynous. Mean what? Neither male nor female. Can you say transgenderism? Go ahead.
Originally was, according to Zohar and Talmud, he was androgynous. You know,
Adam,
like he wasn't male or he was male, female in one body. And this is why you see this transgender agenda today. And there are laws, very serious laws passing in Alberta, Canada.
Is Zionism behind the transgender movement?
You know, I don't think Zionist Christians are aware of this. They're not aware of many details.
Zionism.
But I think that, yes.
Does the transgender movement get its origin in Zionism?
Yes, it gets its origin in Zionism, and it gets its origin in the Talmud, Zohar, and Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalistic doctrine of Adam Kadmon, which is eventually they have this doctrine called Tikkun Olam, repairing the world. Yes. So how do they want to repair the world? They want to bring it to the original. Who was original Adam? He was androgynous. So now they're putting specific things in food and drink, and they're basically their end game is to make humans that on Earth that will survive whatever it is they're bringing androgynous. The transgender agenda.
What they're really trying to do is undo God's creation.
Exactly. Yes.
Anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish. Right? Folks, Jesus called it the synagogue of Satan. Come on in, Roger.
Well, quickly, we spend a lot of time referring to the Torah. To the Torah as far as what it says. It's the Talmud, which is what we need to read.
They don't follow the Torah, Roger. They don't. Some do.
Yeah. But the Talmud attacks our Savior, clearly. Yes. Clearly. But see, the Torah is what we were raised around as far as what they followed and believed in and all that stuff. It's the Talmud that you better read.
So, Roger, how about that connection she made? Adam was transgender, so they want to restore it as it was before. No genders. Can anybody say, hello? Oh, wait a minute.
Anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish.
Can anybody say this? Anti-Christian. Do we ever hear that? Do we ever hear that preached from anybody? Do we hear anybody in Washington, D.C. say there's an anti-Christian agenda in America? There's an anti-Christian agenda in the world? No. Anti-Semitism. See how we're brainwashed? We're brainwashed! Oof. Randy, come on in. I saw you up there earlier. Come on in. I got more. Oh, no, I don't hate the Jews. No, I don't hate homosexuals. No, I don't hate transgenders. I hate transgenderism. I hate homosexuality. I hate Luciferianism. I don't hate those who serve. I don't hate them. They serve the Lord. They need the Lord. But if we don't spot it, point out who needs the Lord, if we don't point out who's serving Jesus and who's not, hey, baby, there's only one king. There's only one King of Kings. Only one. And there ain't no other way. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man gets to heaven except through me, no matter what your birthright was. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, you're nailing it.
I know I am.
You're now.
I'm making people mad. I'll get emails. I'll get hate mail. Anti-Semitism.
Coach, it's hard. It's hard to admit we're wrong. You know, that's the hardest thing ever. Pride is so powerful.
Randy,
Coach, I had to step out of that.
Hang on a second, Randy. Should Christian tax dollars go to kill other Christians?
Absolutely not.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, Coach, you're challenging us to step out of our theology a little bit and just look at it. Coach, that's a hard thing to do. But I did, Coach. I got out of that narrative. And once I realized who a Jew is, then I started going down that road and I've never looked back. So, Coach, as long as the churches, the Zionist taught churches, which we all came out of, as long as they hold up a national place and people, and don't see who the church really is, who Zion really is. Everything has been stolen. Every word's been taken. We have to go back, find the historical Jesus, and get back in the right context. So, Coach, what you're trying to do here is you're trying to steer us back onto that road to get back into the right context so that we know who we are and who they are, who evil is. We have to. Tucker's figuring it out faster than the Christians, Coach.
Yes, he is.
He's connecting the dots. But here's my point, Coach, but I'll end with this. As long as we keep electing Zionist-taught Christians into government, we will never, ever get rid of Zionism.
So, Randy,
we won't get rid of the evil Jews, the Zionist Jews, who aren't really the real Jews anyway. So, never, Randy, what, the righteous Randy, are going to have to rule.
What would be the reaction in America? I'm just asking now, just asking a question. What would be the reaction in America if Christians were bombing Israel? Can anybody imagine what would be the reaction if Christians were bombing Israel? But Israel can bomb Christians? What? We pay for it? Hey, friends, doesn't that make you ask yourself a question? Huh? Yeah, and Amanda, Christians bombed Japan. Japan wasn't Christian. Were there Christians in Japan? Probably were. Maybe there's Christians in Japan now. Wow, this is deep, isn't it? Well, hang on. Let me say it for you. Don't send me an email.
Anti-Semitism.
Folks, I'm just asking the truth here. I don't hate a Jew. I hate Jews. Why would I hate Jews? Why would I hate black people? Do you see what they program us with? If you speak out against anything that doesn't seem right, you're a hater and you're a bigot. They created those words on purpose. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Yes. I dropped in the chat the Talmud. You know, what does it say about ... Anyway, it's right there. If you want to look, and you can see how it's fine for the Jews to deceive Gentiles. They can steal from Gentiles, murder Gentiles. A Gentile who hits a Jew deserves death. It's like slapping God. Disregarding a rabbi deserves death. Oh, Jews can have sex with 3-year-olds. And this is in their Ketubot 11b6.
Folks, they are not followers of Christ. Do you understand that?
Gay sex with 9-year-old boys. And this is, it's in the Sanhedrin, 58b.21. It goes on and it says that the Gentiles engage in bestiality and that they prefer Jewish animals for sex. All types of disgusting things is in that book and what they're, I don't think like the regular people at least the ones that I work for, I don't think that they think these things. I think that they're disturbed by this.
Unbelievable, Rochelle. Great point, folks. See, Jesus told us about those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Where is that? Huh? What, was he lying to us? Was Jesus Christ lying to us when he said, be careful, be careful. There'll be a lot of those who say they're Jews and are not. They're of the synagogue of Satan. He said, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism, anti-Jew, anti-Jew. Hate Jew, haters, hater, hater. Hate anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism. No, friends, I'm pro-truth. I'm pro-Christianity. He says, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but they're liars. I'll make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Oh, they're coming to Jesus, all right. Huh? Oh, yeah. The unsaved Jew is coming to Jesus the same way the unsaved Muslim is. And by the way, the same way the unsaved American is. He is the only way, baby. He is the only way. And I'm going to tell you something. They don't believe it. Anybody getting mad yet? Say, I'm never tuning into him again. Anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism. Come on in, Jack.
Sorry, I just wanted to point out that in 1945, Nagasaki had the highest population of Christians in all of Japan.
Thank you, brother. I did not know that. I didn't know that. We didn't know that. Are Christians supposed to be in a mass murder? Question we ought to ask ourselves. Are we? Now, there's a time for war. We know that. Ecclesiastes tells us that. There's a time for war. Should we be killing? Should we be paying to kill, slaughter Christians in the Middle East? Hell, let's give the money to the Muslims. Let them do it. Don't tell you the truth. Muslims and Jews both hate Christians. I'm sorry. Too much truth here. I got anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism. Go ahead, Randy.
One more point, Coach, and Jack started it right there. I was going to say, since the creation of the dispensational teaching, Coach, and Zionism in the 1800s, every war since then has really, truly been about the genocide of Christianity, Coach. It hasn't been about any other thing. They have to eliminate Christ and the church. That's their only roadblock to the total power on the earth, Coach. And that's the truth.
There's only one way, brother. There's only one way to heaven, Lord. There's only one way. An unsaved Jew ain't making it. An unsaved Baptist ain't making it. An unsaved Muslim ain't making it. An unsaved Catholic ain't making it. There's only one way. Only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm going to tell you something. They hate him. Brett.
Hey, what a better way to kill Christian men than the Civil War. I am pro-Christian, anti-Satan.
Amen. Well, they killed men because they were blacks. They made it about blacks, right? Huh? Oh, my goodness. Hang on a sec. Okay, look, I'm going to dump some information on you. I'm going to put it in the chat. You do your own research. Hang on. Somebody help me out here. Anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism, anti-Jew, Jew hater, right? Oh, cheesy, grimy. I'm talking about those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Is it okay with you guys out there if I separate these into two groups like Jesus did? The between the real Jews and those who say they're Jews? Because they're not the same group. They're clearly not the same group. Clearly not the same group. I know Christian hillbillies and atheistic hillbillies. I know Christian Chinese and non-Christian Chinese. Hey, hang on, Brown Cow. I'll be there in a second. Okay, so pull this up for me real quick. I'm going to give it to you guys, and you do what you want to with it. Pull on number four. Because this is what those who say they are Jews and are not are dealing with, folks. Unfortunately, we are so ignorant. Judaism 101, the Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism. That's the Kabbalah. That's what's being taught in most synagogues. Judaism has ancient mystical teachings. Mysticism was taught only to those who had already learned Torah and Talmud. Jewish mysticism is known as Kabbalah. Mysticism. Hey, Spencer, look that up in Webster. Look up Webster and mysticism, and what does Webster say about it? The doctrine of mystics who profess a pure, sublime, and perfect devotion, wholly disinterested, and maintain that they hold immediate intercourse with the divine spirit. So they think mysticism, they're in league with Jesus because of who they are. They're both born Jews. Jewish mysticism, wait a minute, hang on, help me.
Anti-Semitism.
Jewish mysticism is known as the Kabbalah, and it's part of the written in the Zohar. Zohar, what the heck is Zohar? Kabbalah and its teachings have been distorted by mystics and occultists. One well-known teaching is the Ein Sof and then the Ten Sefirot. What? Kabbalah and its teachings have been distorted by mystics and occultists, teaching as commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Are you kidding me? So this kind of piqued my interest a little bit. I said, well, what the heck? What is Zohar then? Number five, because they talked about Zohar. I don't know anything about Zohar. I never heard anything about it in my Presbyterian church. What is Zohar? What is Zohar? Zohar is known as the primary text of Kabbalah. Its preeminent place in Jewish mysticism does not derive solely from its antiquity or its authorship. Other basic works of the Kabbalah, and it lists them what they are. Jesus said, those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. They're teaching the Zohar. They're teaching the Kabbalah. Folks, they're not teaching the Torah. Some are. The real Jews. Brown Cow, come on in.
Hi, and good morning to all. I totally agree with what you're saying, Coach. They are two different entities.
It's an identity crisis, isn't it?
Absolutely. And when you read the Old Testament, you see that every time they fell into this idolatry, mysticism, magic, and all this junk, every time they did that, every single time, God allowed their enemies to come upon them and kill them. And God killed some of them himself. So people say, well, God doesn't kill people. God is a God of love. He loves everybody. That's a lie. If you read the scriptures, he hates evildoers. Who are evildoers? People. But the problem is people go on with their own mind. They think they are bigger than God. They know more than God. They can actually be God. The son of Satan that has deceived, he has deceived so many. So these people who say, oh, they're Jews and they're the real Jews, and they're, if they are not following what God told them to do, if they are not disobeying God in any way, they are not his people. He hates evildoers.
Amen.
Thank you.
Listen, thank you. Folks, so listen, take yourself out of the box, me. Take myself out of the box that I'm in. And they have taught me Russia bad. And I would think that maybe there's Christians inside of Russia who don't like their government. Just as there are Christians inside of America that say, Joe Biden doesn't represent me. He doesn't represent me. But what does Joe Biden and Americanism, what does it teach us? Russia bad. Well, the Russian government they're talking about. Oh, so the government does not necessarily represent the people? Just like here in America, Joe Biden doesn't represent me? Really? Really? And so what we have fighting going on is a war between two governments that don't like each other because they're fighting over who's going to be in control, who's going to be in power. And they tell the rest of us, we got to hate them, hate the Russians. Hey, Peter the Russian, are you out there, Peter the Russian, my buddy from Columbus? Peter the Russian immigrated here. I love him. Peter the Russian. I'm supposed to hate Russians, aren't I? Folks, you see what they've done to us? It's not just Jews. It's Russians. It's blacks hate whites. White hate black. Why? Because they have to sow the division. They have to distract us. Why do you think they want Jesus out of the public schools? And why do you think the churches don't care? Oh, my goodness. If we saw the roots of some of the anti-Christian stuff that's going on in America, like the, what is it? The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. Or here's my favorite, Southern Poverty Law Center. What? Southern Poverty Law Center? You mean the most atheistic organization in America is the Southern Poverty Law Center? Words mean things, boys and girls. Come on in, Jack. Make anybody mad today? I don't care if I do.
Southern, I'm really mad. Southern Poverty Law Center is quoted. Those are the most evil people on the planet, are quoted by both Republicans and Democrats, by Fox and CNN. Southern Poverty Law Center is the problem.
Pull that up there, Spencer. Southern Poverty Law, SPLC, I think you probably found it. Southern Poverty Law Center. Huh? Oh, yeah, ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center, and their brother, the American Civil Liberties Union. And they're not about civil liberties. They're about restricting civil liberties. Words mean things. By the way, click on there. You'll find me right there in the middle. You're going to find old Coach Dave live, past the Salt Ministries, on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Hey, put it back up there again. What am I? What am I again? Anti-LGBTQ. Do you know something? Brett can verify this. Do you know that there's a foundation in Columbus, Ohio, that wanted to make a donation to Past the Salt Ministries? By the way, some guy, Christian man, gave his money to the Columbus Foundation. A Christian man gave his money to the Columbus Foundation, and then he asked the Columbus Foundation if they would make a donation to Past the Salt Ministries. What happened, Brett? They went to the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they said, I'm a hate group, and they would refuse to give money to Past the Salt Ministries. Am I making that up, Brett?
Nope, that's a fact.
Southern Poverty Law Center. See, they never call themselves what they are. They never do. They ought to call themselves not the anti, they ought to call themselves the anti-Christian Law Center. They're anti-Christian. Come on, man. They hate Christ and his followers. You get it? I don't know. I don't know what I can. Anti-Semitism. Folks, there's a group of atheistic, call them Jew, you call them whatever, I don't care what they are, who hate Christ and hate Christianity. Just like our government isn't righteous. Why do we think the Israeli government's righteous? We're at least a Christian nation. We're about as unrighteous as they come. Yet we think Israel, Netanyahu, oh, they're the apple guide's eye. Anti-Semitism. I don't even know what to say. So put the links in there, Zohar. Put all of them in there. Because I never got to the American Humanist Organization, AmericanHumanist.org. Because why? They're anti-Christian. The humanists, AmericanHumanist.org, they're anti, folks. That if it's the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, they hate Christ. We don't hate them. We're not allowed to hate them, see? We're not allowed to hate them. They're of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do, and Christians are told to love them. Never seen anything like it in my life. Never saying, huh? When I was coaching football, I loved the other team, and we wanted to go drive their face into the mud. I love them, though. Love those guys on the other team. But sometimes the best team's got to win. And sadly, we don't think we're the best team. Brown Cal, thanks for all those cards you sent out to everybody. Got mine yesterday. And we'll get rid of some of them today when we go to Wisconsin. We'll be up there all weekend. Hey, folks, I love the brethren. I love the Lord. And part of my job
is to point out the enemy. Sorry if it didn't go down with you so well today. See you tomorrow from Wausau. Bye-bye.